Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, Ulu family, and we thank you so much for joining us tonight on the weekly Thursday night Us Lifting Us Dad to Win call. And we've got a very interesting topic and a good audience of sisters and brothers that's going to participate in the conversation. And we're here every Thursday night to have a sober discussion of the economic and political plight of black people, which is very, very serious matter. And the global cooperative economic model that, and Ulu has the global cooperative economic model that provides an exact method of gaining economic and political self-determination. And we are building the global machinery for our economic freedom and sovereignty and the methodology to pass it forward to future generations. And we have Us Lifting Us members and also other African family members that are joining us by telephone and by internet radio across the country and around the world in quite a few countries. And if you're on the telephone line, once we get started, give us 10, 15 minutes, you're welcome to press 1 on your keypad to dial in with brief comments or questions. And for those that want to tune in or have a need to tune in by internet radio, you can also reach us by going to usliftingus.com or www.usliftingus.com and look for the link, the box that says Ulu Radio. And when you go from the home screen, it will take you to another page and look for the link that says Listen Live and click on Listen Live. And so every week you can listen to us by and participate by telephone, and you can also listen to the live call on internet radio, usliftingus.com, and also Blog Talk Radio, which is we're broadcasting from Blog Talk Radio, has the weekly calls in the archive. And if you just did not get the entire call or you missed last week's call, you can go to the archives and hear the previous calls. And tonight, once again, the subject is what's in the news, family. What's in the news, family, is brought to us from our ULU, or Us Lifting Us, cultural community center, something that's necessary that we have all over this planet, wherever our people are, cultural community centers. And on the Us Lifting Us page, there's an image of a busy African city with lots of African people and buses and motorcycles and bicycles and food vendors and all of that. And our family needs to know what's in the news, and that's not limited to just now, but to our ancient greatness of the past and to what's coming and what's blowing in the wind for tomorrow. And I'm Brother Thurman, and I'm an Us Lifting Us member. And joining me is Brother Shabaka, who's also an Us Lifting Us member. Brother Shabaka, greet the family, please.
Greetings, family, and greetings to you, Brother Brother Thurman, and thanks for having me participate. And I'm very anxious and happy to inform the family and be informed by the family of things happening in the news. Thanks again.
Good word, good word. And family, our ancient ancestors taught and passed it on to us that some higher level things that we all need to accomplish, and it's not widely well known, certainly not widely put into use, but it's dealing with the subject of mastering calmness. And their wisdom says that when you have mastered calmness, you have mastered one of the keys to life, because we will get tested, but the more that you practice and get in touch with calmness, when those things that will challenge you, you just know what you're faced with and go through with it with calmness. And there's so much more to be spread in the news in terms of just on the note of African wisdom, African proverbs, so much, much more. And so we've got a number of things that we can talk about tonight. And once again, I want to welcome all of the sisters and the brothers and the family heard around the world. And there's plenty of things in the news. There's a piece that was posted by blacknews.com on December the 1st, which was yesterday. And it was about a two-year-old math genius. This is a young brother named Isaiah Gyamfi, G-Y-A-M-F-I. But it's posted on blacknews.com. And he has taught himself how to speak foreign languages. He can count in at least four different languages. And it listed him as a two-year-old black genius. That's something that we should certainly qualify as to be in the news. And I'd also like to add that the conversation of black geniuses is something that while we gathered in the ULU Cultural Community Center, we need to have ongoing discussions about black geniuses. And for a long, long time, my conclusion is if you were to ask a question concerning black geniuses, one question would be, are black geniuses common or is it rare? And I don't know what the masses of the people's response or answer to that might be. My feeling is that based on the fact that it's not something we hear about every day, that our people have just kind of taken it to that it's a rare thing. And I would suggest that it's not rare, that black geniuses are born regularly. It's almost the norm. It's just that things were done in the socialization process to corrupt or turn their genius off or put it to sleep because they came out of the womb ready and lit up with higher knowledge. And there's lots of us who could testify of various things that goes on, things that even the children have said that they knew about that their parents didn't know. And so that was just something I wanted to start off with. And Brother Shabaka, you've got any good words you want to share right at the start of this talk tonight?
Yeah, thank you, brother. Yes, we have the geniuses is very much sometimes it's overlooked, and it's deliberately overlooked by the people who still hold the reins of power in this land and globally. And that's because they don't want us to be aware of the geniuses that permeates throughout our communities, our race. Just to give you a little bit of information, particularly to those that might not be aware of the information, as you recall that, you know, during the period of enslavement, there was a group of people who were called freemen. All right, now the freemen just didn't come along at the end of the Civil War. There were freemen that existed, you know, had various skills and trades. What I found out is that a lot of these freemen, free women also, but mostly men, were former enslaved Africans, all right. But what happened was they provided, because, you know, they was engaged. They were engaged in agricultural work. And one of the ways in which you could become free, all right, was that, you know, through your ingenuity, you were able to make the master a lot of money. You were able to come up with inventions that allow the master to make a lot of money. And, of course, we had those who were freed who were snitches. All right. I don't want to dwell on the snitch part, but it's very important to realize these freemen, all right, in order to be freed and were given property and were given some tools in order to manage those properties, not much as the master, all right, but they got that using their ingenuities in the captivity that they were exposed to, all right, and this is important, all right, found ways. So remember now, you know, you hear about all these inventions that came out during the slave period, and white men's got patents on it. Well, that's because, you know, they were the ones who were the plantation owners. That's why they got a patent on it. But the people who did the work, who came up with the ideas, all right, and probably put those ideas, all right, into some practice where they materialized a machinery or something that allowed the master to make and increase his yield. All right, that's from our ingenuity. Right. That's from our ingenuity. And you see it even today. I mean, people are being hurled into what they call ghettos or the hoods and all that other kind of stuff, all right, in order to make us really depressed, all right, and not come up with any ideas. But you see these ideas percolating, all right. You see these geniuses, brother, that you just talked about there. And, of course, the Europeans have always got an eye open for any kind of genius because they know the geniuses that have come historically out of our race, all right, or our community, our ethnicity, whatever you want to call it, all right, and they know, all right. And so they're gathered around, their harness. The next thing you know, they'll put us here, separate that genius from the family, because it's important. That genius must be separated from the family, because the family knew about the genius. The genius might want to use the resources that they have that the Creator gave them, all right, to help move the family out of the predicament that it's in. So everything was to identify the genius in us, separate that genius so that the members of the community would know it's there, which is why you had some of the leaders in our community go into the suburbs, all right, away out of the city. From before, there was, you know, you had all classes and skills, all right, harnessed there in our community, and it allowed us to build our Tulsa and other places throughout the country. It was not only Tulsa, all right, Black Wall Street. There was other places in the East Coast, all right, in the central part of the country where we had migrated from the South. We build up towns. So that genius that you talked about earlier has always been there. It's been manifested, and sometimes we become aware of it if we get there and identify the awareness before the European becomes aware of it and then steal it to make it his own so that he can profit from it. But a very good point, brother, and that's a good lead-in into our discussion about what's going on in the news. Thanks a lot for asking me to address that question.
Yes, brother, and thank you. You added some good points to that subject about Black geniuses. And family members, tonight once again, the conversation here at the Ulu Cultural Community Center is what's in the news, family. And every day, we need to keep our people informed of what's in the news. Things they don't know from the past, and things that's currently going on, and things that are blowing in the wind and coming our way for the good or for the bad, we need to know. We need to stay in touch with what's going on in our environment, in our ecosystem. And family members, so we invite you, and we're going to be doing the What's in the News family as a topic probably the first of every month, at least once a month, broadcasting from the Ulu Cultural Community Center. And we are inviting sisters and brothers, Ulu members and others amongst our African family to come forward and contribute valuable and needed information that can help us all to grow and flow in a harmonious fashion and to do well and thrive and ultimately to regain our complete freedom and maintain it. And so we need knowledge and we need to put our minds together. And it was just beautiful that I started off talking about the two-year-old Black genius. And Brother Shabaka got into conversation, and the conversation just flowed. And even though he and I had not talked about this two-year-old Black genius or the subject of genius, but there's so much knowledge in the brain computer of our people, and when we come together and circle up our minds like we are tonight, we can and we must share it with each other in the circle so that each time we leave the community center, we have gained higher knowledge and we can go forth and navigate through this ecosystem more effectively, more efficiently. And another is something that I think there's so many things that the list would be long in terms of what's in the news that we need to talk about. Among the things that are in the news that I would just bring forward just for a moment, there's a news article that was posted by the Medical Express, Medical Letter X Press, by the Medical X Press. November the 8th, 2021. And the article was about cannabis use disorder may be linked to growing number of heart attacks in younger adults. Once again, cannabis use disorder may be linked to growing numbers of heart attacks in younger adults. And that's interesting, and I think that it's worthy that we spread that in the news, because there's a and the article went on to say that there is an increasing usage of cannabis by young adults, and they're still evaluating what effects that's having on people. Some people already knew before the legalization came what the how it was going to have an effect on our people. And so the major reason on my part that it got my interest is I'm not surprised that such a thing would be showing up, health issues or health disorders from the use of smoking cannabis. And there are some of us that have long ago advanced the thoughts, I would call it the reality that cannabis is very useful for nourishment and for healing, and even for other uses, including building from using the plant or the variation or the cousin of cannabis hemp. But also, cannabis, as I said, is very beneficial, fresh and raw, and while crafted to be used as a food. But there are those that will ask us to give some thought and some investigation into whether we should ever smoke it. What would I say based on what I have found? Absolutely not. And unless it was only that was the only thing that we had to use as a healing reason, but is smoking anything that goes through your lungs, healthy, cigarettes included? Well, if smoking cigarettes stains and tars your lungs, would cannabis be separate from that? That's just something to think about, something that's in the news family. The headline, November the 8th, cannabis disorders causing heart attacks in young adults. So that's what they are studying. And I'll stop and pause on that. And the family members that's on the call by telephone and by internet radio around the world, we definitely want you to participate in the conversation. And we thank everyone that has come forward and contributed, not just for tonight's program, but we've got sisters and brothers on the line that have been contributing to help us, lifting us, grow and getting information out and helping us in various invaluable ways. Sister Deborah, our Us Lifting Us member, puts out a lot of, on a regular basis, things that's in the news. And she posted a piece if it had a title, it would be titled Cultural Surrender. And it was a short piece written by Brother Dr. Conrad Worrell. And he says we must never surrender our culture. And we do have a major problem of surrendering our culture. And it went on to talk about far too many African people in America are getting away from the essence of family life. The cultural tradition of African family life is that of the extended family that centers itself on rearing of children and caring for the elders. And then it goes on to say that our late great ancestor, Dr. Asa G. Hilliard's book, The Maroon Within, reminds us of a major problem that we as African people are besieged by. And he described this problem as cultural surrender. In explaining the problem, Dr. Hilliard wrote, African Americans remain one of the very few groups in the United States that do not honor their own cultural traditions, sometimes even when they are honored by others. And Dr. Hilliard states that if there's a major illness among African people, is that we increasingly honor and utilize our culture less. All great nations and people do the opposite of that. They do the opposite of honoring their culture less. They honor their culture throughout every year and throughout the year. And we've got to wake up, take the pillow from my head, and I'll just pause on that. Anyone that wants to join the conversation, just press the number 1 on your telephone keypad, and we welcome you to join this conversation and contribute, 3 to 5 minutes of something that's in the news. Just press the number 1. And Brother Shabaka, any more good words you want to share?
Yeah, thank you, brother. I'd like to get back to your cannabis piece. I think that's a very important piece. Just to reiterate a little bit, I don't think people understand the history, not only cannabis, but tobacco and what have you. These things, because we are not in tune, and we were the ones who brought this information, us and the Native Americans, as they're called, Native Indians or indigenous people here, brought these things, all right, and these things were used to enhance and enrich ceremonies, rituals that did not occur every day. You know, these things did not occur every day. So, if you smoke tobacco, if and when you spoke, it was to enhance us, as was thought of, in a spiritual awareness which would allow your participation in the ceremony, all right? And, you know, you might not have another taste of that for months or years. It depended on when the ceremony occurred and for what purpose, all right? The same with tobacco. Tobacco was not to be used every day, every week. It wasn't used for that purpose, all right? But the Europeans came over here and said, well, oh, man, I see how it enhances, and I might be able to make that profitable by, since it did create a state, all right, and the subjugation that we were experiencing. You got to remember now, our family, you know, it wasn't pleasant during those days 200-300 years ago, all right, and there was a lot of uprising, you know, Africans fighting, all right, escaping. You know, plotting. You know, they don't tell us that in our history books, right? You know, they make it seem like we love where we are, all right? And we never did. But remember now, the objective is that once we have been our minds colonized or enslaved, all right, the intent was to make us like where we were, even though we were experiencing misery. And so narcotics, opium, and all that other kind of stuff was to take the pain away momentarily, all right? And so therefore, since we did not see relief, you know, we funded to those pain, those addictions, those opiates, those tobaccos, those cannabis, all right? In fact, I know people who put cannabis in food, you know, by way of enhancing whatever it is they want to have, they want to get high. But they do it every day. You know, they're doing something every day. It's not meant to be an everyday thing, all right? And it takes you away. It was just as much as you breathe air, all right, and you do things to, if you engage in Tai Chi or yoga, what have you, all right, to get the body ready to present in a state, all right, because you want to be in that state, all right, to enhance, all right, your interaction and ability to commune with the rest of what God has created, all right, but now these things come about when Europeans just saw how it could profit from it and at the same time get us in a state that we wouldn't think about our misery. So all of these are just substitutes, all right, to get us to stop thinking, all right, about our misery. And he's been extremely successful. Now he's found out that, you know, with the sophisticated propaganda machinery that he has, all right, and because of us, you know, wanting to be free, and our only examples we saw of being free was to be like him. All right, remember now, we haven't seen, he's been able to cut. He doesn't have us contact every weekend our relatives on the continent or in the Caribbean. No, we don't get any of that luxury, all right? But he sees us wanting to be him, all right? And then in being him, we look to be him, but then he says, no, you can't be me because you're not white, all right? Now, think psychologically what how that impacts you. And so you know that you can't be white, but you try to do everything that you can to show you that I can be smart, you know, and I do the look. I look at this genius that I just demonstrated, and he says, thank you, all right. He might even give you a crumb, but he's out making millions from it. So I think it's important to put it what you said. Yes, the way these things are brought to us are overindulged, and they are against our health. All right, and they're not seen in the context in which they were used. The Europeans didn't see it. All right, he only saw it when he saw the rituals being demonstrated and then begin to think. Another example is gunpowder. Okay, the Chinese Asian community had always used gunpowder for centuries, all right, in, again, rituals that they had. He looked at it and developed it into a weapon. The mindset. Now, it's not that the Asian and Chinese didn't fight each other, but they never look at that as a tool to enhance their ability to overcome their neighbor or to inflict devastating injuries. They didn't see it like that, all right? All right, so, Brother Vernon, I think it's very good that you bring that up. I think it's important. I saw something or heard something. Well, let me say this, and then I'm going to stop talking because I'd like to get the family's impact. But I did, Robert Kennedy, F. Kennedy Jr., all right, who was the son of Robert Kennedy Sr., who was killed. He was the attorney general going to run for president. He was attorney general during the time of his brother, who was president, you know, for people that might not know who are younger than maybe 60, but for the rest of us who are older than 60, we remember what that happened. Well, anyway, he came out with a book. The book was The Real Anthony Fauci. All right, the intent of that book was to show the criminal activity that Anthony Fauci has been involved in with his position, you know, as the director of NAAID, which is part of the National Institute of Health. All right, and remember now that Anthony Fauci, all right, is the highest paid federal employee in the U.S. government. He makes more money than Biden, just to get you aware of that. Well, anyway, Kennedy disclosed a lot of information in that book. It became the bestseller on Amazon. And I'll tell you why I'm bringing this up. It became the bestseller on Amazon, okay, and yet some senators have been trying to block its sales, I'm telling you, because, and these happen to be, you know, your senators, your Democratic elected senators and congressmen, because I know a lot of you who are listening here are still in that Democratic Party. But I'm going to tell you, the people who are pushing the COVID vaccine and mandates are Democrats. Really, it's both Democrats and Republicans. The Republicans are just trying to make believe that they're not supporting it. But anyway, to tell you what Kennedy revealed, one of the things he revealed, in addition to bringing up Kennedy, was to lay, bringing up Fauci, was to lay some historical stuff, particularly about eugenics, okay? And he showed how Hitler learned about eugenics from members of the elite class here in the United States. People at Harvard was giving papers on it. I believe they had a course in eugenics, okay? And it showed that Bill Gates' father was a eugenicist, right? Okay, so he brings out all of this stuff, all right? And evidently, the people that they were working on to reduce the population of, all right, were mostly, you know, what they call unfit. But some of them had a name like African on it. Okay, so all of this stuff was to reduce our ability. I mean, the sterilization of sisters during the enslaved period, immediately after that, continued without their knowledge, taking out their wounds and everything else. And, of course, you all heard about the syphilis thing. But did you hear that the CIA, in addition, all right, to improving its ability to overthrow regimes, particularly regimes in Africa and Asia, but especially in Africa, okay, all right, developed an experimentation where they have found that the propaganda that is put out, all right, by anybody, the news media in particular, the U.S. government, can be accepted even if it represents some harsh and inhumane acts. Their experiment, this came out of Robert Kennedy's book and his research as he was researching Fauci. This is not Shabak now. You go get the book, you go on his website, look at a summation of his book. All right, summary of his book should tell you that. All right, the CIA had developed a technique where, from their experiment, they were comfortable that they could, all right, influence, even though they do some of the most outrageous, egregious acts on humans, that 67% of the population would go for that. You could, in other words, they could brainwash 67%. That's two-thirds of the population that they knew that they could affect. And that, all right, so the emphasis was how to restrain and control that one-third that's not going to go for it. So now when you look at that, when you see all the things that is happening to black folks, all right, Africans, all right, be aware that the agencies, the intelligence agencies, all right, have already found the experimentation that go back decades, that they know that they can influence, all right, a large number of people. Now, what is surprising, and I think some of the mandates that you see affecting us with this COVID thing, is the fact that, you know, we barely got 30% of the African population, all right, all right, who are succumbing. So we've already out, you know, they've already gotten their two-thirds of the white folks who have got those inoculations, all right. But they haven't got two-thirds of the black population. And so I think the mandates, all right, was to affect it. And they know how we are affected economically, you know, because we don't own the means of production of this land. That's owned by somebody else. We're workers. We're slave workers, laborers, all right? That's what we are. But yet we resist the domination. And so all of these stringent measures, all right, because we fell outside the CIA's, all right, experiment which says that two-thirds of the population, regardless how harsh, can be easily manipulated into doing something against their interests. It's only one-third that we would have to, we meaning the CIA and this other agency, would have to worry about, all right, in order to not have that one-third impede its ability to do what it's want. But blacks are already showing that we are impeding that effort. And I wanted to put that out there and maybe allow for, you know, maybe comments for the members who and family members who might want to comment. Thank you for letting me get that off my chest, brother.
Yes, brother, and that's very vital contribution to the subject. That's very vital, needed, brings some good clarity. All of the ears need to hear, and we need to continue to spread that message. And before I go any further, I want to take time to acknowledge a caller that we have on the line and get their comment or question. The caller with the last four numbers, 6093. Please give us your name and tell us where you're calling from with your question or comment.
Yes, thank you. This is Sister Nanana, and I'm calling from Denver, Colorado. I hope all of you all are doing well.
Yes.
Yes, thank
wonderful.
You, Sister Nanana. We all doing well.
Wonderful. Thank you. And thank you for the opportunity to add a comment. I just wanted to share something that's in the news that I think is on a positive note, something that we could really appreciate. And that is that here in Denver, Colorado, the Center for African American Health has started their Dads and Fatherhoods Initiative. Their Dads and Fatherhoods Initiative, and this is a program that helps to teach our men the characteristics that they need to be involved, responsible, and committed fathers. It helps them with basic knowledge and skills because, you know, we have a lot of single fathers out there. Sometimes we don't think about that. We usually talk about single moms, but there are a lot of single fathers out there as well who need help and guidance and assistance in rearing children by themselves. And also this particular initiative addresses father's role in a two-parent family also. So I just think that it's a program that is much needed, that can help us to re-cement our families to get back on track, and just wanted to acknowledge that this is something that's in the news, and it's one of those things that we don't often hear about. You know, we usually hear about some things that are going on in the community that may not be as positive. So I just wanted to give a shout out to the Center for African American Health and their Dads and Fatherhood Initiative. Thank you.
And thank you, Sister Nanana. That's another vital contribution because family, we know it's extremely important, and I can just, from what you brought to the family conversation, see how that can help enhance the success of continuing to raise families without a lot of confused behaviors. And I'd also add that we have a Ulu family member that's quite got some knowledge on that subject about our families, and he's an author, and he's been on Ulu Radio, and his book is called Divorce Western Culture, Not Your Mate, and he's got some things in the book that have helped Africans that were otherwise having problems with their complement, and we're going to fall apart, and they realized that they were using a lot of Europeanized cultural tips and behavior, and when they embraced their culture, then they didn't divorce their mate. And thank you so much once again, Sister Nanana, always for your knowledge and for your love.
For sure.
Brother Shabaka and other family members. We invite other family members to join right in with us with your questions or comments, because the news, all of the news is vitally important, and you can tell by the information that's been presented, and including the last piece that Sister Nanana brought forth is very, very important, all about family, which is vital for nationhood. Yes, go right ahead, brother.
No, I wanted to thank you, Sister Nanana, for that. We need that that information, particularly in a sea of negativity, to find out, even in spite of that, and that kind of stuff is, you know, what we were talking about earlier, expressions of genius, even though we've been flooded with a whole bunch of everything to enslave it. But I wanted to mention this. Some people might see this as not so positive, but I'm going to explain why I think it's important, and that is Stacey Abrams from Georgia has recently announced that she's going to make another run for the governorship of Georgia. All right, she's in the state legislature and represent areas around Atlanta. I mentioned that in this sense, that one, she's a very smart and dynamic sister, all right, who has challenged. Now, we know that the Democratic Party and Republican Party, all right, as we talked about earlier, when they see the genius, they want to definitely surround that genius and then use it and manipulate it so that it benefits them. Well, obviously, those things are happening in the state of Georgia also, all right, and not so much that she's being manipulated as much as she has the skills. And see, these are the kind of skills and organizational kind of skills that we need to be attuned to. The enemy is always attuned to those things because he has the machinery, all right, the wealth, all right, to keep him informed, all right. Now, this woman, with her organizing ability, was able to get two senators elected, as well as, all right, a majority of folks to win the state over to Biden. Now, again, it's in the Democratic Party. It doesn't really help us. I'm pointing out the skills and what we need to look at, all right, in terms of grabbing those kind of skills and do that. It wasn't Kamala Harris that got Biden into presidency, all right? It was out of Detroit. It was out of Philly and definitely Georgia that pulled Biden over the hump. Okay, and it was Stacey Abrams that did that. All right, now, we're not going to get anything out of it, but we're closer to Stacey Abrams than we are to Kamala Harris. You understand what I'm saying? All right, organizationally, I don't think anything can be done to maybe change her position, but things can be done for us to identify some of the skills and geniuses that percolate, and then we have to get to them. We have to bring them along because we know what the man is going to do. The man is going to circle them and put them in his camp, all right, for his benefit. But I wanted to bring that because she has announced that, and more than likely she'll probably do very well because she's a good organizer. All right, she organized white folks. She can convince white folks, all right, to vote for a black governor. And she'll probably get it this time because there's a number of folks that have migrated, blacks, some liberal whites, whatever you want to call them, to the South. All right, we're not necessarily in a position now to take advantage of that, but we are in a position, all right, to see what is going on and to improve our skills, all right, all right, to begin to say, what are the things that we need to do to enhance? Now, we need certain kinds of skills in order to develop the economic infrastructure that we want to set, all right? We need to pull people together. There are certain people that can pull people together and that can communicate to them of the necessity why we need to pull people together. And they can articulate the world. They can give you a whole history lesson of decades, all right, of centuries, and probably a 45-minute speech. See, these are the people that we need to recognize, these people, and see the impact that these people have, all right, on attracting, to look at the dynamism when they assert and the leadership that they have. These are the things that we need to look to. As I said, the Democratic Party has her, but she has great skills. And there's others in Georgia, in South Carolina, in Mississippi, Louisiana, Florida, all over where we are with such skills. All right, we need to grab these and gravitate to them. All right, and show them the real benefit of really pulling our people together and developing the infrastructure that is necessary for us to be sovereign. I that's all I wanted to say, brother, in terms of
yes,
the news.
Yes, brother. Well, that's another powerful contribution because you said it multiple times about the importance of organizing and the skills that surround that and emphasizing that we need to pay attention to people like her and as much as we can to communicate with her and also to likewise reach out to her to get her to be more and more aware of how she can use those skills in organizing to help our people to be familiar with the process of organizing and skills and operating on many levels of thinking. And that's a very good contribution. And family members, we're here every Thursday from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we thank you so much for joining us tonight. And I want to, as we continue to bring forth what's in the news, family, I do want to make sure that I don't leave out that tomorrow morning on the Us Lifting Us Facebook page, there will be a 2.5-minute tribute that Brother Dr. Leonard Jeffries helped to make it available. And it's a YouTube video that's a tribute, and the title of it is Tribute to Malika Shabazz, Malika, M-A-L-I-K-A-H, who is the daughter of Betty and El-Haj Malik Shabazz, also known as Malcolm X, who has recently made her transition. And so this is Tribute to Malika Shabazz by that title on YouTube. It's going to be on the Us Lifting Us Facebook page tomorrow morning. And it's 2.5 minutes. And family, we've got in our listening audience, it's quite valuable to listen and take notes because we got people in our listening audience that just quietly taking in the information, Brother Shabaka and Sister Nanana that called in. And also just as something else to try to, if I can, I've it's gone now. What I did have a interesting short paragraph about cultural centers, but it went on to suggest that we need to surround our cultural centers, and you heard me mention, and it's been mentioned before because I've done a couple of talks on the Us Lifting Us cultural centers, which is something that's very necessary. And this article that I have to be able to focus back in on it. It talks about how our people need to surround and fully support our cultural centers in all ways. I mean, to come and recognize it as a place that we can come and do what we're doing tonight, share vital and uplifting knowledge, so that when we leave the cultural center, I think I said that early in the call, that we've got a greater clarity and a better grip on how to more effectively operate and navigate as we be more effective in regaining our total liberation and having all of the resources necessary to maintain that. And Brother Shabaka, the hour is has moved right along, because we've been engaging in some good conversation, you, myself, Sister Nanana, and also the listening audience just listening in. And Brother Shabaka, before we end this hour for this week, have you got something else you'd like to contribute?
Yeah, thank you very much, Brother. Yeah, we expose, I think, some of the things that is happening around the world, the community, what have you. Some of it is positive, but all of it can be positive. Once you are aware, then you can easily and adequately plan to navigate. In ignorance, it's very little that you can do. I just like to also inform the family, you know, that Uplifting Us has launched Final Properties LLC, which is our real estate business. Our real estate business has taken off since last month, all right, or this month, well, last month, really, but it's in full group. For those people that are interested in real estate, you wish to contact us, you know the number. You can always call the number on the website or send a message on the email address that's on the website. And, you know, if you wish to get interested in the things that Fauna is doing, if you have property, all right, if you are a property seller, you know, and you like to, you know, sell your property, all right, or you like to have us look at your property or do something with your property, if you are a person who likes to buy property, all right, you want to contact us, all right? If it's things that you got, you part of an inheritance property, and it's not clear on what it is that you would like to do with us, Fauna Solutions might be able to assist you, all right? Our objective is to help us. Brother Thurman talked about, you know, that cultural center. That cultural center sits on land, all right? That's real estate. So, you know, we didn't get and launch this for no reason. We launched it because we see the importance, all right, of having a real estate arm associated with Ulu. So I just wanted to share that with the family, and hope the family think about it. If they got some ideas, contact us. And thank you very much, brother, for allowing me to bring that up.
Yes, brother, and thank you so much always for your continuous and very beneficial contributions. And family members, take note of what he said, Fauna Properties, F-A-N-A, Fauna, which is one who provides light, honor, and wealth. And if you have problems, you're back on taxes, going to lose property, you lose the property by way of unpaid taxes, Fauna may very well be interested in it. And Fauna's mission is truly to get in position where we can do more and more to help each other and help our people. And family members, we're going to be back here again next Thursday. Once again, I give thanks to everybody that participated, Brother Shabaka, Sister Nanana, the other listeners on the line and on listening by internet radio. And do remember that in line with the African wisdom and Proverbs, we've got to focus our attention and not get distracted and focus on the higher knowledge. It's always about the higher knowledge. And I want to leave these words. You focus on what you want to expand. I say that again. You focus on what you want to expand, accepting that its expansion will curb and correct that which is working against you. Accepting that its expansion will curb and correct that which is working against you. And these are the words of Brother Baba Baruti out of Atlanta, a prolific writer, educator. And those are some very, very deep words. It's very useful. You just grasp hold of it and keep it in your focus, in your attention. It starts off saying you focus on what you want to expand. If we want to expand freedom and liberation and economic liberation, we've got to focus on it. And then when we are accepting that its expansion will curb and correct that is which is working against us. And yes, we've got much working against us, but when we focus, we can curb and correct, and we truly, truly can, because we can transform energies. Our ancestors have always known that. Family members, we look forward to your participation, which is necessary for our liberation, that you join us next time. And the first of next month, once again, the topic is going to be what's in the news, family. Thank you so much.
That's it.